Once you are selected as an astronaut, and here I don't want to scare you, and I just want to shortly talk about it. Here are the, in German, so don't, but many of the big bold letters you can read or the words, we are talking about the research program what we do in space, and that is physics, fluid physics. That is about material science, how it starts if you grow a crystal. Then we have biology for plants, we have biology for single cell, we have more life science, we call that life science, that's human physiology, we have radiation biology, automation and robotics, we have some transfer functions, questions of the structures you have in space, data science, astronomy, atmospheric physics, and Earth observations. All these are the fields, our experiments, and we do as astronauts. They are coming out of this field. So all that you have to be interested in. All this, once I've been selected as a German astronaut with four other guys, we were five, for two flight opportunities, you have to listen to just what you do now. Day in and day out, 90%, maybe even more than 90% of our work is sitting and listening and writing exams, tests. That is how exciting an astronaut life is for the first 5 years. Okay. And besides that, we do, say, because I'm talking about my experience, and I'm 60 right now, just got 60 last August. And at 60, you don't go on a long-duration flight anymore. Usually, you don't. So I don't expect that. But 2 years ago, we selected new European astronauts. And lucky enough, he already is in flight training since half a year. And he will fly in 2.5 years. He will fly to the International Space Station. Alexander Gerst, the German one, he just got flight assigned 2 weeks ago. He will fly in 3.5 years. And we have a Dane, we have a Brit, we have another Italian, and a Frenchman. A bunch of new astronauts. And they went through the same screening process and as I did just 20 years before that. And that is a little bit more a situational picture. The one was a PR picture, you know, with a monkey suit. Yes, it's just a monkey suit. It's only for PR. We don't do flying anymore as European astronauts. We are sitting in classrooms. We do diving. We do some robotics training and some small airplane flying, but no jets. And these guys are in Darmstadt at the European Space Operations Center watching an ATV launch and an ATV docking. So as an astronaut, I said 90% classroom, and then the rest are interesting things like flying in a little airplane like that. That's not a little one, that's a Boeing 707 military version, KC-135, that's called, and by flying up and then pulling down the nose and throttling it in the right moments so that you don't have an acceleration horizontal, only an acceleration downward. It's just for the people inside as if they were in an elevator which falls with them to ground. That's how it feels. It's weightlessness for 25 seconds. So that's training. We also train at that time, we train flying jets. Here, always working as a team, supersonic jets, and it's not important that we are supersonic. It's important that we are in a quick evolving environment, that everything we are doing will influence the course of our flight irreversible. Anything what happens to the plane, we have to deal with. Everything we do to the plane, we have to talk and agree with each other, and we have to talk and to agree with ground, or better said, the ground is telling us what to do. And then we do that quickly, that they are satisfied and can guide it safely to the next airport. Strange enough, I myself found this kind of training most similar to what a flight environment really is. And if you have ever seen a military pilot flying a helicopter or flying a military jet, and I'm telling you also, and I'm married to one, airline pilot, when they are in training, they are really sweating. They are really highly concentrated, and that is how life is also in space. Everything you do matters. Every mistake you do will disappoint 10, maybe hundreds of people on ground. So you try very hard not to do that. You try very hard not to make a single mistake. You try very hard to perform in an optimal way. All that is the pressure you live under. In my case, my first mission 10 days, my second mission 13 days. But people who are going now only to International Space Station to live on the space station for half a year, they live through that for half a year. The only difference between my mission 13 days and their mission is they have the weekend off. Saturday, Sunday they have off. But Saturday, the off Saturday, 4 hours of that is housekeeping, cleaning ISS, wiping off, putting stuff away, cleaning up the crew quarters so they are sleeping quarters, all that. Another picture shows you, you have to train your little space vehicle. In this case, a pressure suit, a partial pressure suit, which we launch in when we launch on the shuttle. In case we have an accident, a depressurization, the shuttle stays intact. We can guide it down to ground. We can survive about 2 hours in vacuum. And of course, the shuttle systems. I don't even show you that. All that you have to learn, and in my case, that came all on top of the experiments for my first flight in 1993. After my first space flight, I just showed you one picture, I had to decide, do you want to end your astronaut career, or do you go to Russia in the age of 44 without Russian knowledge to start on a German-Russian mission? And I decided to go to Russia. And my dear colleague here, Talat Musabayev, actually he's not a Russian, although he speaks Russian and has the Russian flag, he's actually a Kazakh. And Nikolai Budarin, he is a real Russian, he was born and raised in Moscow, and I in between as a German astronaut at that time. And I'm telling you very shortly, it was, I think, the most striking experience in my life as an astronaut, to recognize when I went to Russia and got embedded, started the training in Russian language, which I didn't speak, so I had to catch up, to learn how many prejudices I took along from my home in Germany. And getting to know Russian people, starting friendship with them, and gaining dear friends there, I think is one of the most valuable experiences in my life. That is a Russian space station Mir at that time, and this is pretty much, we are taking, this picture has been taken from a shuttle during the Russian-American Mir program, Mir shuttle program. This picture is taken with a lens which resembles pretty much how you would see that with your own eyes. So that is the curvature of the Earth. This here is the thickness of our atmosphere. The atmosphere you and we in the States and everywhere, all 7 billion of astronauts on this mother spaceship Earth need to live. It's not more than that. After I came back from that German-Russian mission, and by the way, I was in the backup crew, the Russians do it, they train 2 crews for 1 space flight, and the prime crew, if they stay healthy, if they don't screw up, if they pass all their tests, they fly. And if one of them gets sick, the whole crew steps aside and the reserve crew, the second crew, steps in. So unfortunately, my dear friend Reinhold and his crew, they didn't get sick, they didn't screw up, so I had to wait. After that, I did an additional training in Russia, and then in 98, I came back from Russia, and again, there are no more German astronauts. We get rid of all of them, but we have now one European astronaut corner. Now, do you want to join them or not? And you can count all these people. And at that time, I think we had four European missions coming up. And so chances of flying is pretty low. So either you like the way to get there and help other colleagues to fly and to succeed, or you're better off. So I decided, hey, this is so great. I have loved to be in space. I want to go again. I don't care. If it might not happen, I take the chance. So earlier today, I think I complained a little bit how they treated me as an astronaut in that corps, you know, telling me, oh, you cannot fly station, you're only good for shuttle. And but, you know, I trained, I worked, and that is maybe important to say. Once you have your basic training behind you, 1 year, maybe 2 years, you continue training an astronaut, but you're also taking one-third, two-third of your working time a job, where you're really working on some subject to make something else happen than your own spaceflight. So, and I was lucky enough that after 10 years being in the States, working with these colleagues, half of them in the States, half of them in Europe, to be selected for one flight again. But before I go there, I just want to resemble, in 98, I couldn't be a German astronaut anymore. I became a European astronaut. And who is Europe? In that case, it's ESA, European Space Agency. And this compromises today, 19 countries are united in ESA, which we have listed here is Greece, it's Czechoslovakia, it's little Luxembourg, and one of the Baltic states. And we have a 20th member, and who can guess what that is? That is Canada, is an associated member of ESA, of the European Space Agency. So I want to tell you that it's funny, and space flight unites different countries.